Brothers and sisters, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. And if you're able, when you're ready, please stand for the reading of God's holy and inspired word, Joshua chapter 24, beginning at verse 19. Hear now the very words of God. But Joshua said to the people, "You're not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." The people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." We'll stop the reading there and we'll turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, as we go into our last third of the Gospel of John. Verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Amen to the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we know that there is a battle going on. We know that even here this morning in this room, there is warfare, as our flesh wars against the spirit, as Satan seeks to swoop down and snatch your word away from us. So we cry out to you, Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to receive. Bend us and shape us to be like our Saviour. Most of all, triune God, receive all the glory in the preaching and the hearing of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You're about to go on a journey. You're about to leave home to embark on a journey, and you know that this journey includes warfare, it includes suffering, and even your own death. What do you do before you leave? What do you do that last night before you leave? I would imagine that you would gather your family around, that you could be with them one more time, that you could have one more meal with them, that you would comfort them, that you would encourage them, that you would pray with them. I don't want you to miss the gravity and the intensity of the situation here in John chapter 15. It's the upper room. Judas has already skulked into the darkness. In a matter of minutes, Jesus will be stripped from his disciples. Within 24 hours, Jesus will be dead. Satan is coming. Hell is gathering together. The shadow of the cross is looming over Jesus, and Jesus is shaken. Terrasso, he's shaken to the core. His disciples' hearts are troubled. And so what does Jesus do? He gathers his disciples together. He comforts them. He encourages them. He prays for them. This one time before he goes out into the darkness. And so here we come to John chapter 15. They're about to cross the Kidron Valley, but Jesus, knowing that death is closing in on him, he must speak to his disciples. He must speak to them. He doesn't want to waste a moment. He doesn't want to waste his words. He's got to speak to them. He's got to tell them something important. And brothers and sisters, I say to you this morning that as Jesus is there and he's rattled, he sees his disciples and he's got to tell them what he tells them in chapters 15 through 17. This is important to Jesus, that they know this. And the words of these chapters is important for you. You have got to know this. This is crucial that you hear what Jesus says in these chapters. And so what does he want them to know? And what does he want you to know? Well, it seems to me that he wants them to know what a Christian is. He wants them to know the priority of the Christian. That's my first heading, the Christian's priority. Look again at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and most of us profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, then your priority is Jesus' priority. What was Jesus' priority? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That's his priority. When, you know this, the people of Israel went into the land. Each family was allotted a land. And Solomon tells us that one of the things that they did is they planted their own vines. And you can imagine the scene is perhaps the father goes out to the backyard and he digs a hole in the ground, and perhaps maybe the family are gathering round as they watch the father plant this vine. And no doubt the family had two questions on their minds. The first was, is this going to bear any fruit? And the second is, if this does bear fruit, is it going to bear good fruit or is it going to bear bad fruit? And Jesus is saying the Father is the vine dresser. Literally the word there in the Greek is land worker. He sees Father, the Father as the land worker, And he sees himself as a vine planted by the Father. That's how Jesus viewed himself. I am a vine planted by my Father. My purpose in life is to bear much fruit and good fruit for my Father. Jesus came into this world as a vine planted by the Father to bear much fruit and good fruit for his Father. That was always in his mind. That's what he lived for. To bear much fruit and good fruit for his Father. He says in John chapter 8, I always do the things which are arestos, pleasing to him. I've been planted by the Father to bear fruit, to please the Father. That was his priority. That was his purpose. Now I want you to think about this. Imagine you came across Jesus in Jerusalem this very day and you were to say, Jesus, what are you doing in Jerusalem? He would say, I have come as a vine planted by the Father to bear much fruit and good fruit for the Father. Jesus is walking up the hill to Calvary. He's carrying his cross on his back, and you say to him, Jesus, what are you doing with that torture device, with that wooden altar on your back? He would say, I'm here to bear fruit for my Father. Jesus, what are you doing up on that cross? Come down from the cross, Jesus. No. But Jesus, look at your body. You're a mess. You're a bloody mess. Come down from the cross. No. But Jesus, you're suffocating. You can't breathe. You're trying to use your emaciated, pierced feet to push yourself up just so you can breathe. Come down from the cross. No. Jesus, you're in agony. I saw you. I heard you minutes ago crying out to the Father in agony. Why won't you come down? Come down. No. Why won't you come down? Because I'm here for them. Here for who? Here for my people. I've come to redeem my people that I may bear much fruit and good fruit for my Father in heaven. I want to please him. That was the priority of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you see yourself this morning as anything other than a person who has been planted by the Father to bear much fruit and good fruit for the Father, then you're unlike Jesus. That's why he came. And you've got to see yourself, brothers and sisters, as planted by God to bear fruit for him. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. You were planted by God in this world to bear fruit for the Father, to please him. Or as Paul said, you were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God created beforehand, that we should walk in them. Now, I want you to see that this affects everything. This affects everything. Young men, perhaps you're here this morning and you know that you struggle with sexual temptations. It's like it calls your name. It says, come and indulge me. And you say, no, I won't. Why will you not? Is it because you know that it's an empty promise, that it doesn't satisfy, it just leaves you feeling dirty and guilty afterwards? Is it because you don't want to enter into a spiral of addiction? Is it because you don't want to dishonour your future wife? Is it because you don't want to stunt your growth, your spiritual growth? Is it because you know that it will render you useless in the kingdom of God? Yes, it's for all these reasons and more. But ultimately, it's because you don't want to bear bad fruit for the Father. You want to be like Jesus. You want to bear much fruit and good fruit for the Father. You want to please the Father. Young people, you want to do well in your school studies. You want to do well in your exams. Why do you want to do that? It's because you want to give yourself a shot in the arm of self-worth? Is it because you want to impress your friends? Why do you want to do that? You say, well, actually, Pastor Rob, Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, work heartily as unto the Lord and not men. That's why I want to do that. You want to please the Father. Yes, you want to honour your parents. Yes, you want to get a good job so you can give generously to the kingdom work. But ultimately, you want to please the Father. Conversely, why do you not offer your life on the altar of academia? Why do you refuse to study in the Lord's Day? Why do you refuse to crowd out your life with your studies so that it doesn't sap every moment of your energy? It's for the same reason. You want to please the Father. If you go on, mothers, you want to raise your children well. You want to sharpen their gifts. You want them to be diligent in their studies. You want to teach them the scriptures. You want to install in them and instill in them good character, that they'd be hard workers, that they would be servant hearted, that they would be deep thinkers, that they'd be honourable, respectable and so forth. Yes, you want that. But why? It's because you want to bear fruit and you want your children to bear fruit in order to please the Father. This affects everything, doesn't it? Started a diet on Monday because my mother said she watched online and said I was chubby. And there's other reasons. I don't want heart disease. I don't want diabetes. I want to be a good steward of my body so that I can serve the church, so I can serve Christ. I want to be around for my children and my grandchildren, that I can shape them and steer them towards Jesus Christ. Yes, I want all that. But ultimately, I want to please the Father. You go outside and you ask the man in the street, he's walking by, and you say, what's the purpose of your life? Tell me your priorities in life. I don't know what he would say. Maybe he would say, I just want to live longer. Maybe he'd say, I just want to be happy. Maybe be more noble. I want political change, or I want. But what was Jesus' priority? It was to bear much fruit and good fruit for the Father. What if I were to ask you? Now, you live to bear fruit for the Father, but I want to ask another question. Why? Why do you want to bear fruit for the Father? Why bear fruit for the Father? Are you a slave? Are you like the Israelites in Egypt under Pharaoh and, oh, we've got to make these bricks, oh, I've got to bear this fruit for the Father. I better not watch this. I better stop doing that. I better sort my thinking out here. I better do this, I better do that. Because I have to. Why are you to bear fruit for the Father? Look at the answer in the previous verse, chapter 14, verse 31. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. You do it, you bear fruit, because like Jesus, you love the Father. You're not a slave. Well, actually you are a slave, but you're also a son. And you do it because you want to please your Father. And I say to you this morning that if you're trying to walk in obedience like a slave, if all it is a slavish fear, if all it is mere obligation, or if it's any other answer than, Father, I love you, and I want to please you, then I don't know what to say to you. Jesus did it because he loved the Father. It wasn't out of mere duty. He lived, he taught, he healed, he suffered, he died. He said at the end of that verse, rise, let us go from here. In other words, let's get up, I'm about to go and face my death. Because he loved the Father, that's why he did it. And not only do you bear fruit out of love for the Father, but you want the world to see. Look at the verse again, verse 31. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. You don't want to be a closet Christian. You don't want to put your lamp under a basket. You want the world to see, the world to know that you love the Father. You want the world to see, verse 11, that your joy is full, that they too may have their joy full, that they too might bear fruit in order to please the Father. Which really leads us to some very straight but important questions. And that is, have you ever told someone the gospel? Have you ever shared your testimony with someone? Do you live in such a way that people say to you, you're different. And I know you're a Christian. Can you tell me more about that, please? We have a wonderful next door neighbour, Mr. Bill. And some of you that work for Eastman might actually know Mr. Bill. And Ash said the other day, she said, you know, if I wasn't a Christian and Mr. Bill invited me to church, I wouldn't hesitate. Either because I want what he has, or because I love and respect him so much that I would not want to refuse. Mr. Bell, so loving, so caring, so joyful. It's like he breathes in and out the joy of the Lord. You spend 20 minutes with Mr. Bill, and you've got to conclude that man loves the Father. Brothers and sisters, you don't have a private faith. Either your light shines before men or it doesn't. Either you tell them the gospel or you don't. You don't have a private faith. Now next week, Lord willing, we're gonna ask three questions. We're gonna talk about what this fruit is. We're gonna talk about how we can bear this fruit, and we're gonna talk about what happens if we don't bear the fruit. But this morning, I simply want to say to you, what is your self-perception? Do you see yourself as a vine planted by the Father to bear much fruit and good fruit, and why? Because you love Him. And because you want the world to see that you love Him, that they might bear Him fruit also. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we can only come to you this morning and confess that we bear very little fruit. And so often our fruit is bad tasting and not good. Lord, we pray this morning that by your Holy Spirit you would cause us not only to see ourselves, but to live as vines, producing much fruit and good fruit for you because we love you. And we want others to see that love, that they might honour you as well. Lord, we can't do it by ourselves. We need your Spirit. We pray that you would grant that to us and forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.